Watch the Bucks game Sunday with Ira Kaufman at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Almerton Road. Amazing food, Florida's best craft beer, a 3,000-plus square foot outdoor covered seating area with great TVs and sound, indoor tap room as well. Hang with the Sage. It's always fun. Join with Bucks fans. If not, drink Big Storm beer during the game. It's Florida's best craft beer, bigstormbrewery.com.
I'll try to keep this tight, but it's a hell of a story. We're going to have a hell of a time controlling them tonight. What you're about to hear is the God's honest truth.
Buccaneers fans, Ira Kaufman is back. Episode 2 of this week of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Now, if you didn't listen to the first one, it popped on Thursday. So head to your platforms, your Apple Podcasts, your Google Podcasts, your Podbean, wherever. Fire that up. If you didn't hear us talk about it on this podcast, we probably did the other day. The Sage is back from his tropical paradise, and it's all the fun from Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, the proud presenter of all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. You want that brand new 2022 Maverick? You call up Sean Sullivan. He's the man. That's the guy you call, the GM at Bill Curry Ford. You can find his email at billcurryford.com. Whatever you need, reach out to Sean. He's going to help you personally, give you the Ira Kaufman discount, talk Bucks with you, talk draft, and of course, listen to his best-in-class podcast presented by none other than Bill Curry Ford. Fired up today. I'm Steve Isbitz. Lee DeCamper's here. We got plenty to talk about. Ira, I've got a nugget for you that I think no one's talked about yet. But first, Ira, we need to hear. You promised us you've got some sort of story about how you had to take a COVID test before you went to St. Thomas. What's this all about?
Stevie, what you're about to hear is the God's honest truth. We're fully vaccinated. My wife and I, we're going to St. Thomas. You have to have a negative COVID test within 5 days of getting on your flight. Otherwise, you will not get on your flight. Well, we went to a place called Medical Express. We got the rapid antigen. We got the results in 15 minutes. Negative. That was on a Saturday. Our flight was on a Wednesday, within 5 days. Then you have to submit your result in a portal. Now, Lee knows better than anybody. I am not Mr. Technology. Now I got to deal with a USVI, U.S. Virgin Island portal. And somehow you have to send up the information. Then they take, you know, a few hours to review your thing. And then they issue either what you're looking for is a little code green. Green means you're good. You're good to board. Well, the first thing we got was code red. No good. Stop. You know, it was illegible. Refile it. I had to go back to Medical Express. The lady helped me. We refiled it. 3 hours later, code green. You're good to go. All right, now. I'll try to keep this tight, but it's a hell of a story. We get to the airport. You got to show it on your phone. We had the code green. We're fine. We get on American Airlines, 2.5 hour flight. We arrive in St. Thomas. They got army people all over the airport. Now you got to show your phone again. Well, I'm in front of her. I got my phone code green. The guy goes, "You're good, sir." I start walking towards baggage claim. I get towards the doors. You know, a couple of minutes have gone by. My wife's not behind me. Nowhere to be found. I wait about another 10 minutes. There's military all over the joint. We were the first ones off the freaking plane. First ones. And 10 minutes go by, and I can't see her. Where the hell is she? She's way back where you gotta show the guy the phone. So I tell the military guy in front of me, "Hey, my wife's back there. I got to go help out." And I had printed out sheets that said negative just in case, you know, there was a problem with the phone. I got the sheets. I got the hard copies, gentlemen. So I walk back there, and she's with some guy. Looked like he's about 19 years old. And her phone's reading code red. She's on the wrong one. She can't find the thing. So I walk up, and I go, "What?" I think I said, "What the hell's going on here?" She fell to pieces, you know, and she's mad at me for 4 hours after that. How the hell can you do that? My nerves are frazzled. You're supposed to come up and say, darling, can I help you? I didn't do that. I said, what the hell's going on here? Just then, the guy's fooling around with her phone. Meanwhile, the freaking stewardesses are passing us by. We're the first ones off the plane. Now the stewardess has passed us. She's the last one off the plane. Unbelievable. Finally, the guy says, all right, lady, go ahead. We go into baggage claim. And now for the coup de grace, gentlemen. I still can't believe it. We're walking towards to get the bag. She's a couple of feet behind me. I turn around. And there's a kid like 23 years old, some goofball, that tracked her down because he saw that she was having trouble with her phone. And he was standing there when I came by and said, what the hell's going on? And he says to her, lady, you got my sympathies with a husband like that. I know what he's like. He reminds me of my father, strict as hell. I hope you can get through this, ma'am. I saw what happened. Meanwhile, the guy takes off. And I said, I don't need some nerd talking to my wife about her husband. Isbits, I should have decked the guy right then and there. I should have walked up to him. Who are these people? And that's my story before we ever checked into the resort. She was frazzled. She didn't talk to me for about 4 hours. And it's supposed to be our 40th anniversary.
That was fantastic, Ira. Way better than I expected. You know, we don't do big show prep meetings here of any sort. And that was hilarious. And this is, of course, is the U.S. military in St. Thomas. This is the, you know, these are United States servicemen, I'm assuming.
Lee, I can't have a stranger talking to my wife about what a tyrant her husband is. I mean, well, what's going on here?
I'm just stunned that U.S. territory, right?
Oh, yeah.
So what, they got the Marines around the Army? What's the deal with the military?
I thought I was in Fort Hood or something. I mean, it's like a military base over there. You can't get past them without the code green. And, of course, everybody's flying past except my wife. She can't find the code green. She's still on the phone from 2 days before when she was code red. And she couldn't find the... Unbelievable.
Are these guys decked out in camo with their helmets on?
Yeah, they're in full regalia. I thought they were going to deport her then and there. Unbelievable.
there's so many things I could say, but people didn't turn in the list to political theater, so I'm not going to say anything, but I'm stunned.
Sage, I'm glad that you got called out by a young man for not being sensitive to your wife's needs, and hopefully you were a little more sensitive as the anniversary extravaganza plowed forward. Now, look, Ira, there's something coming up with this Bucks game on Sunday that I think is unique and I think is something that has to be addressed because it speaks to Todd Bowles, who really didn't have anything interesting to say Thursday, but it speaks to where we've heard about his genius. We know he's in the home stretch here looking for a head coaching job. And the Buccaneers, for my quick little research, they're going to be the only team to face Taylor Heinicke for a second time. Now, Heinicke essentially is almost like a rookie, really, just hasn't played very much. Got in that playoff game last year. They were planning for Alex Smith, even though Bowles was, he wouldn't admit that today. Arians said that recently on, I think it was just this week on Sirius. So they're getting a second look at Heinicke, the first team to do that. Washington isn't very good overall. I mean, I think this is a game for Bowles to flex his genius. Am I missing something here?
You're not missing anything. And on top of that, Steve, I believe there was an interview with Heinicke this week where he said, quote, the reason I'm still in this league and still starting is because of the playoff game against the Bucks. He said that. Lee, I thought after that game where I thought he played damn well and made some real good throws under duress because the Buck pass rush was strong that night in the nation's capital. And he really put some balls where he had to in tight windows. And I'm glad they gave him a shot. And I thought he had a real chance to make it. Lee, he has shown very little. Now, he doesn't have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I understand that. He doesn't have the Buck offensive line. But, Lee, he hasn't shown much. If Ron Rivera had a strong option, he'd probably use it right now. Heineke's fighting for his football life. They don't have a good running game. I'm expecting the Buck pass rush to be all over this guy. And I'm really not worried about him. It's a second look for Bowles. You know, if you want to give him the excuse, well, he didn't know he was going to play Heineke until that day on game day. Well, now that excuse is gone. I am not worried about Taylor Heineke. The Bucs might be getting some secondary guys back. This is a bad football team. Their defense is terrible. Their offense is poor. And I don't know what else to say. Ron Rivera is tearing his hair out. He's a defensive guy. They can't stop anybody. And I want to make one more point, Lee. And I don't think enough people are talking about this. I think we're looking at it a little bit the wrong way in terms of the 2021 Bucs. A lot of people are saying, well, it's coming off the bye week. Lee, here's the difference from last year. We're going into the third quarter of the season. And I don't have to remind you, the third quarter was pretty much a debacle for last year's Bucs. They lost 3 out of 4 to slip to 7-5. But Lee, if you remember, they played the Saints. They played the Rams. They played the Chiefs. That's 2 division winners, 3 playoff teams. The schedule is nothing like that. But Brady had a lousy third quarter. He threw a lot of picks in those 4 games and contributed to those losses. I don't see him doing it again, Lee, especially with the softness of the competition coming up.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, for some reason, I don't remember Brady playing that terribly in the third quarter of the season. I know he didn't have a good game against the Saints. For whatever reason, he's got a, you know, Sean Payton's got a hex on him. I do remember him playing terribly against the Packers. He had 3 second half picks. Like, whoa.
He didn't play well against the Rams. He threw a bad pick at the end when, didn't the Bucs have a chance to win that game at the end?
Yeah.
But Lee, I don't see him losing 3 out of 4 games.
No.
In the third quarter this year. I just don't.
No, it's a soft schedule. And Washington, I guess I could say Redskins. You know, I know Google won't get mad at me saying Redskins on the podcast. Until they get a real name, they're Redskins. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. You know, people don't like it. Oh, well. Ron Rivera is a good defensive coach. I can never remember him having this poor of a defense. Jack Del Rio is his defensive coordinator. And the comparisons to Mike Smith with the Bucs are just too numerous here. Mike Smith could not buy a freaking sack when he's a defensive coordinator outside of 1 year. 1 year they had a great defense. After that, they were just personification of horrid. And here we are, Jack Del Rio, who was Mike Smith's, you know, Mike Smith was his right-hand man. Mike Smith was his pupil. And here we are, Jack Del Rio is coaching a Redskins team that they can't buy a sack. Even though they've got allegedly really good players up front, he can't buy a sack. Just like Mike Smith couldn't buy a sack as a Bucs defense coordinator. And the irony is too rich for me to ignore.
Hey, Steve, a quick thing to run past you. I shouldn't do this because I know you both are probably going to take a couple of pot shots at me. But
uh-oh.
I think that the offensive and defensive MVPs through the first half of the year, and of course Brady. Lee, no problem there. Brady. On defense, I thought Vita Vea, I don't know. At the end, I couldn't give it to a guy who just doesn't have any numbers. He just doesn't have it. So I gave it to Shaq Barrett, even though I said he's been a little inconsistent. My instincts tell me you probably would have went with Vita Vea.
Probably, because even though he doesn't have numbers, if you watch the film, he eats up so many blockers. I would say Vea. Yeah, I know he doesn't have numbers, but he gets results. Numbers don't show it, but you know what? A box score isn't film.
Steve, is it too much to ask for Vita Vea to have some more tackles for losses behind the line of scrimmage?
No, not at all. I'd go with you on Shaq as well, Ira. I thought it was on point when you picked it there, and so I'll go with Shaq. I mean, he'd even have better numbers if he didn't have some bad lucks with the ref. You know, they stole 2 sacks from him. And he's made a lot of different plays, and he's played the run well. And be there. I might go with Vea, but he's missed so many snaps because they don't like to play him full time that it's hard for me to call him the MVP when he typically is off the field for 35-40% of the snaps.
Shaq Barrett, if I remember right, I think they did.
Yeah, he had a strip sack of Matt Ryan that they inexplicably called back because they said he was offsides, but he wasn't. You know, so that's how that went.
What's happened to Mike Edwards, gentlemen? Any signs of Mike Edwards, Lee? What's going on there?
Yeah, he's kind of like hiding, isn't he?
He's a backup, Ira. He's a backup. Come on, you just want him to get those four interceptions because you predicted he would lead the Bucs in interceptions. I got to ask you this, Sage. Is there any chance, like, do you see any avenue here? We saw all those upsets last week. Obviously, Jacksonville upsetting Buffalo with Buffalo completely imploding, not being able to put the ball in the end zone was stunning. But Washington, they've scored 55 points in the last 4 weeks total. I mean, how is that team supposed to beat the Bucs that puts up 30 even when they're not at their best? I mean, is there any way here? You see any kind of avenue where every Bucs fan shouldn't go download their new gambling app and throw the house on betting on the Bucs?
You know better than anybody. You never say never. They got to be better than 2-6. Lee, you make up a list of the most disappointing teams in the league. The Redskins are in, and they're in the conversation. I mean, they were division champs, lousy division, but they were division champs, and they're terrible this year. They're just terrible. You got to wonder if this whole Daniel Snyder ownership garbage has had an effect on the players. You never know. But, Lee, I don't see the upset. The Bucs coming off a bye week. Getting a little healthier, getting some guys 2 weeks to prepare for a team that takes about 2 hours to prepare for, Lee. They just don't do anything with Washington. I don't know how they've won two games. I hate to use the word stunned, but I think you're with me. You'd be stunned if the Bucs lost this game.
I would, and here's another reason why. 2 weeks ago, Todd Bowles was embarrassed. A stiff, nobody, never been, third-string stiff from the quarterback factory known as Northwestern, comes off the bench and embarrasses a Todd Bowles. I mean embarrassed. The only word that properly fits, embarrassed. And I've been a Todd Bowles supporter. I've been a Todd Bowles fan. But I have to be real. That was shameful. And I know the Bucs have had injuries in their secondary, yet still, I think the Bucs defense has played over and above what they should have been playing with all those injuries. They found a way. Bowles' defense has been finding ways to hide those injuries. And you get a stiff like a Simeon coming off the bench and doing that to your defense. If that was Simeon coming off the bench against the old Bucs, they would have had that SOB for lunch. They'd be picking their teeth with toothpicks on the sidelines with his bones. I hope that Bowles and his assistants were so flippant embarrassed and so shamed that they got, I can't think of the right words. Like you said, Ira, never say never, but I tend to bank on, you know what, they got outed 2 weeks ago. They're not going to get out of the second time with 2 weeks to prepare. I hope that's the case.
Well, I love the Kemper's passion, and I think Buck Nation shares it in this respect, Steve. They should not have lost that game. I mean, there's no excuses in the Rams game. They were outplayed. I thought the Rams were outstanding that day. Very few mistakes. Almost a perfect game by the Rams. No shame. The Rams are a good team, even though they didn't show up last week. But, Steve, Winston goes down. Taysom Hill's not available. You got to win that game. I don't care if it's in the Superdome. Steve, no Michael Thomas. Kamara's under control. You know, that's a bad loss, Steve. Any way you cut it. Steve, in the end, if you want to talk about the number one seed and being the only team in the conference to get a bye week, and if the Bucs fall a game short, I'm sure we're going to look back at that New Orleans game, Steve. That's just the way it is.
There's a long way to go for that, but I'll sum it up this way. This is the run that we're on right now, Ira. Mac Jones in his fourth game, Jacoby Brissett, Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, for all intents and purposes, Trevor Siemian, and now we've got Taylor Heineke. You can't lose back-to-back to those types of quarterbacks. You shouldn't lose the way as good as this team is to any of them. And they lost one of those games. And now they got to straighten it out here, like you guys said, with the bye week and facing him for the second time. First team to do that. And, you know, they have weapons, though. They do run the ball, Ira, better than you laid it out. But they shouldn't be able to run against the Bucks. And this team being one-dimensional should be a disaster. I mean, we're going to pick scores later, but I'll just throw it out there. I mean, I really expect the Bucks to win by three scores. It just should be one of those games, kind of like we saw against the Eagles, except the Bucks didn't finish that out. They let him sneak back late, but it should be that kind of thing where at least they finish him off, maybe a 33-14 or something like that.
They've got a good receiver named McLaurin. The guy's good. He'd have a lot better numbers, Lee, if he had a more reliable guy under center, which he hasn't had. But he's a good player. There's no question about it. The best runner, I think, is Antonio Gibson. He's on the injury report. I don't know if he's playing on Sunday. It's a mess in the nation's capital. There's no other way to say it. And they gather up one credible performance against the defending NFL champs. You know, most teams gear up for the Bucks. I understand that. But in the end, Lee, talent usually prevails. And you look at these two rosters, I don't even think it's close.
Oh, I agree with you. I think it was Arians, when Arians first came here. Didn't the Bucks lose like four in a row at one point? And that never is, Arians has never gone through that in the NFL, losing that many games in a row. I want to say, he said, we'll see what kind of pride we have about losing so many games in a row. And he found out, well, he didn't have any pride. Or at least not enough. And that's what I'm thinking here. You got embarrassed by a guy who, you could argue, shouldn't even be in the league. Where's your pride, defense, Bucks defense?
And I'm looking for a bounce back game from Brady, Steve. Not that he was terrible. He wasn't terrible in New Orleans.
No.
But he wasn't Brady. And of course, that pick was inexplicable at the end. He doesn't misread coverage like that. They fooled him. And it's hard to fool Tom Brady. But they did it. This Dennis Allen is very good. And New Orleans is now a defensive team, right, Lee? They've changed around.
Good defense, run the ball, yeah.
You know, they might get 9 wins out of it, or maybe even 10, and sneak into the playoffs. They might, because Sean Payton's that good, Lee.
Ira, I think you're overestimating, because the NFC, the depth isn't there this year at all. Right now, the Saints are the 6th seed. Atlanta's the 7th seed at 4-4. And there's like 10 teams with 5 wins in the AFC. There's just nobody to come up. I mean, I almost think the Saints, unless they really go in the tank, I think 8 wins might do it this year to get a wild card, because it's just who's going to overtake them? The Lions, Minnesota.
Could Minnesota get hot, Steve? Could they? I mean, could they?
They could, but they're just not very good. This will be an interesting Sunday, Sage. Do you have any feeling on these games? Because the Saints go to play the Titans. And that's a hell of a defense that Tennessee has, a very difficult situation for the Saints. And the Falcons go play the Cowboys. So, you know, the Bucs can really sort of put a massive hammer in the division here and stop playing games if they can pull this off.
You know who's underrated? Mike Vrabel. That guy's good, Lee. And there's no history of a long line of Belichick disciples that have made it big. Branching off from Belichick, but Vrabel's one of them, one of a few.
Yeah.
And I got to say, Steve made a point about their defense. A month ago, I didn't think their defense was very good. I thought it was kind of ordinary. Derrick Henry was, chewing up a lot of clock, and they were scoring a lot of points. But I didn't think they were shutting people down, and I don't know, the last few weeks, Lee, Tennessee's defense has really come on. Apparently, they got an interior defensive lineman, a young guy who's really good, kind of leading the way. That's going to be trouble for Mr. Simeon. And they can throw the ball. Tannehill's not bad. A.J. Brown's a good receiver. Of course, they miss Henry. But that was a hell of a win by Tennessee. Beautiful win.
Excellent win, yeah. Who saw that coming?
Dallas has to be in an ornery mood. They didn't show up. The Rams are in an ornery mood. They didn't show up last week. That might be the stunner of the year, Lee, was Dallas getting manhandled at home They were getting clobbered. That was an embarrassment.
30-0. It was 30-0 in the fourth quarter. Nobody saw that coming.
Yeah, and it speaks to the circus in Carolina, where you know Teddy Bridgewater's over there, and they're scraping for Cam Newton, who's the guy they got rid of to go with Teddy Bridgewater, and you know there's nothing better than seeing these stinking Panthers suffer, Ira, because we're sick, we're still sick of being the doormat of the NFC South for all those years, even after the Super Bowl. It just feels great to see these guys fall apart, Sage. Now, Sage, falling apart is what happens when you have a disaster in your home and you don't know who to call, and you call your insurance company, and next thing you know, 5 weeks later, you're getting ripped off, nothing's been repaired, and it's just a mess. That's why you have to call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. Whenever you have a flood in your home, or fire damage, or wind damage, or you find mold, they are licensed mold remediation specialists. You do not mess around. You call Josh Martin and his crew. You can find them at floridaselite restoration.com. And they also work with property managers, all kinds of businesses that serve people who have disasters in their home. And if you're in the business of a property manager, or you're a plumber or a contractor, air conditioning service person, reach out to Josh Martin, Florida's Elite Restoration. He'll give you a free assessment and a guideline of what his company offers, so you can share and make sure that your customers are getting treated right by an honest local company with an impeccable reputation. Florida's Elite Restoration, they are there for homeowners, for businesses, 24/7, floridaselite restoration.com. They'll get back to you anytime. Call them anytime. They will respond quickly. Again, when you have a disaster, that's who's going to take care of you. Doesn't matter what time of day it is. floridaselite restoration.com. Now, Ira, you did your grades. You did all kinds of things. Is there anything you're looking for from the coaching staff? You know, we talk about the players and this and that, and, you know, Bowles has to step up and lock down an inexperienced quarterback and show what he can do here. But is there anything you're looking for from Arians? You know, every season's different. This year after the bye is not last year after the bye, where they're coming off a 2-game losing streak and nobody really knows how good they are, and Leonard Fournette's going to the bench, and, you know, COVID season and stuff. Is there something you're looking for from Arians here, or a prediction that you feel you think at some point he really cracks the whip to get these guys ready for the playoffs, or he's going to have a focus? What do we need to know?
You know, I'll say this, Stevie. Arians is not inclined to mess with the other side of the football. He's not in Bowles' face, where he's much more comfortable suggesting things to Byron Leftwich. And I understand that. Bowles has a hell of a pedigree as a defensive coordinator. But, Lee, it's still sticking with me a little bit that Devin White not only hasn't taken a step back, but he might be taking a step back, Lee. I'm a little stunned by it. I don't know if you would call it regression or he's plateaued. I don't really like the way he's being used. I say he's got to be aggressive. Lee, he's an aggressive player. What I'm saying is that Arians may have to go against his better instincts and have a discussion with Todd Bowles about changing a few things on defense and making some suggestions, because this is the number one offense in football. It doesn't need a lot of massaging. It really doesn't. But I think this defense is a little bit of an underachiever. A little bit. And I think Arians might have to pop his head into that defensive room and really question some of the things that they're doing or not doing.
I don't know that the defense is underachieving. And what I mean by that is, and what's motivated me to say this, maybe it's easy to forget, the Bucs have been ripped apart with injuries in their cornerbacks. You know, they're still down 2 starting corners. The Bucs, as we're recording this, we have no idea if Sean Murphy Bunting is even going to play Sunday or not. Like Arians said, it's one thing to practice, another thing to play a game. I'm starting to think that Bowles has done one hell of a job getting through all those injuries at cornerback. Like I've written this several times before, at one point the Bucs have been down five corners. At one point. Not for long, but they were down at one point. I can't remember the last time a defense has had this many injuries to their cornerbacks, and yet they've only lost two games. And technically, they shouldn't have lost the one to the Saints. So as much as it may be irritating that Devin White is not Ray Lewis the second, you could argue validly, you could argue that they may look like they're taking a step back, but they've won all these games without all these corners. And so I'm going to give Bowles the benefit of the doubt. I've said this in a previous podcast. I was going to ask Bowles at point blank, are you using White differently to cover for injuries? Bowles said, yeah. So while the defense may not be romping, stomping, snorting, eating people up, maybe they're doing things differently to cover for those injuries, and they're surviving as a result. If the defense is going to get exposed by having White do something that we want to see him do, I would rather White do things that we don't want to see him do if it results in a win.
Steve, three quick points. One, to back up my argument that this defense is leaving a little bit to be desired, for my taste. One, the quarterbacks they face this season, by and large, not very good. They ain't playing Justin Herbert every week. Number two, they are the number one blitzing team in the National Football League. I believe it's about 40%. That's number one. Steve, if you're number one in blitzing, I want to see more pressure than they're getting. They're getting okay pressure. Well, when you're number one in blitzing, I think you should be in the top five in terms of putting quarterbacks under duress. So I got to say that. And the last point, when last year ended, especially with Patrick Mahomes running all over Raymond James Stadium, a lot of people, Steve, thought defense was going to carry the 2021 Bucs, and yes, they've had injuries. But the feeling was this is a hellacious defense that's only going to get better in year three under Bowles with everybody coming back. And, Steve, I'm not seeing the same defense I saw in those last eight games. I'm not seeing it.
For me, it all comes back, really, to the pass rush. Because when the Bucs get to the playoffs, and yes, I fully believe they'll be in the playoffs, no problem. When the Bucs get to the playoffs, that pass rush is going to have to come alive. Otherwise, because there's still going to be some injury issues in the secondary. Even if everybody comes back, are we to expect that Murphy Bunting and Carlton Davis, after serious injuries, are going to be 100% for that first playoff game? And there could be other issues as well. But the point is that pass rush, you need it to win the Super Bowl. I think we would all agree to that. And they're averaging, I believe it's 2.1 sacks a game this year. Last year it was three. And that needs to pick up. But we got JPP is, who knows if he'll even make it to the end of the season. Yes, Vita Vea is doing his thing, but we still don't have much sacks from the interior defensive line. The blitzes aren't getting home. Joe Tryon doesn't play very much. Shaq is having a good year, but we need more from that. Otherwise, those quarterbacks, we all know the names, they're going to get carved up like we saw on opening night, really.
Ira's second bullet point cannot be emphasized enough. And I'll go back to the Saints game. They blitzed 22 times, zero quarterback pressures on those blitzes.
Wow.
Zero. I read that second point about not enough quarterback pressure for those blitzes that can't be emphasized enough. I am 120% behind you there. And if that means Casey Rogers has to teach his guys how to shed blocks, well then Casey Rogers needs to teach his guys how to shed blocks. That point cannot be hammered home enough.
Ira, we got two things to hit. I got to get your opinion on one thing. We need our picks. Then we're going to get the hell out of here. As we heard earlier, though, you will be at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, bigstormbrewery.com. You can get all the locations there, all the tap rooms, and you can find out where to buy Big Storm beer because they are the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, and it's awesome. Florida's best craft beer. So go to bigstormbrewery.com, and of course, you can find where it's sold, but it's in Publix. Get a Bromosa. Send us a tweet with your picture of drinking Bromosas. We love to share those. and come out and hang out with the Sage. 1 o'clock kickoff. Ira's going to roll in there about 12:21. He'll be obsessed with his fantasy team for a little while, and then he'll be stuffing his face. He'll have a bay beer or perhaps a Kolsch in his hand. It's going to be a great day. And our thanks to Bill Curry Ford. Ah, that's just where it all starts. Bill Curry Ford, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there and then reach out with any question you have to the general manager himself, Sean Sullivan. Nationwide lifetime warranty on used and new vehicles. And we thank Florida's Elite Restoration. Your first phone call when you have that horrible disaster in your home that you never think is going to happen, when that flood comes, you have to have someone you trust. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. That's where you go because you can trust them, as we've talked about before. Ira, your buddy Lars Anderson, he's been promoting the book. So he's been doing all kinds of interviews. And of course, he wrote Season in the Sun, the Bruce Arians Super Bowl story for last season. Some guy named Ira Kaufman wrote the foreword for Bruce Arians. Am I correct on that, Ira?
Yes, you are, sir.
The guy still didn't give you a dessert. I can't believe he had you at his house. No desserts, no snacks. I can't believe it.
And Christine was sitting right there at the table. Right there.
I guess they heard your reputation or something, but they didn't even open their fridge for you. You're there for hours. No food. No food for Ira.
I did take two tater tots off Arian's plate. I got to be honest.
Excellent. So Lars Anderson, Ira, he's on with Colin Cowherd, and he talks about how Tom Brady, I'll just read the quote. Tom was constantly going into the offices of BA and Jason Light, the general manager, saying, quote, "We got to sign Antonio. We got to sign Antonio. Got to sign Antonio." And he kind of just wore them out. So finally they call Antonio in after some of his legal stuff had been resolved. They get him into the building. He said all the right things. And Bruce and Jason decided to take the chance. And he described it as, quote, "blind faith in Tom." And he doesn't want to, and Anderson said, "I don't want to call Tom the assistant general manager, but he certainly impacted the decisions Jason Light ultimately made," blah, blah, blah. Your thoughts there? You know Anderson personally and have spent time with him. Is he exaggerating here? Do you believe everything he says? What should we think?
Well, his sources are impeccable. He has a very tight bond with Bruce Arians. Steve, it's worth noting that he co-authored The Quarterback Whisperer with Bruce Arians. They have a strong bond, a history together. Jason Light talked to Lars Anderson, made himself available for the book. Brady made himself available to Lars Anderson for the book because Brady knew how much this book meant to Bruce Arians. And that's why he got Brady's cooperation. So when Lars Anderson talks about the influence of number 12, Lee, we're not surprised by those excerpts. We've said it on this podcast. We're not calling Brady the de facto general manager, you know, if somebody, if Jason Light wants to bring in another linebacker or an offensive lineman, he doesn't necessarily need Tom Brady's kiss of approval, Lee. But when you're talking about Antonio Brown, Lee, Bruce Arians was already on record. He was unequivocal. Not Antonio Brown. Next. And then they sign him. Of course Brady was the catalyst. Of course, Brady was the voice in the back of Jason Light's head. And you know what, Lee? When the dust settles, Antonio Brown hasn't been a problem.
I don't know if that was because he was living with Brady for a while there. I don't know.
Ira is going to be, he's finishing off his donut, his Dunkin' Donuts there. Lee, give us a score. Give us a critical thought or a critical prediction and give us a score for Sunday's games, Bucks at Washington.
Can I give a quick Ira story?
Yeah.
All right. Well, before I get going, I have to preface this. Otherwise, people are going to go bananas. What I'm about to say is in no way, shape, or form some advocacy for violence on animals. But yesterday I heard, or read, I should say, where some guy got pinched by the cops for taking a shovel to a seagull at the beach. And I immediately thought of Ira picking fries off people's plates at Big Storm Brewing. So when you see Ira Sunday at Big Storm Brewing, keep a hand over the fries. Ira's a human seagull. And please don't take a shovel to Ira, all right? You know, don't take a shovel to Ira. Well, with all the injuries, I think the Bucks' strength is now the running game, because there's no Gronk, there's no Godwin, there's no Antonio Brown. So clearly, that tips the scales in the favor of your running attack. I think the Bucks are going to run and run and run some more. I think they're, as a result, they're going to control the ball. They're going to control the clock. And I think the Bucks are going to win a low-scoring game. It's going to be Bucks 24, Washington 13. Take the under.
All right. Steve, I want to say one more thing about the first half of the Bucks season, and it has an impact on this game. One of the great things that the Bucks have done through eight games, this team scores touchdowns. They score touchdowns, Steve. They don't kick field goals. They've made eight field goals in eight games. Eight.
Good stat.
They've scored 25 or 27 touchdowns, like tied for the league lead. They score touchdowns. The Redskins will be kicking field goals. So, Steve, they're averaging 32.5. Washington doesn't play any defense. I don't see why they can't put up 35 touchdowns for the Bucks. I think Lee's on to something. Look out for the running game. I expect about 130 yards on the ground. 35-13, Buccaneers.
Interesting, Sage. Interesting. I'm just going to say I think it's going to be a huge day for Mike Evans. I think we'll see a little bit of what I'll call old school Bucks of the Dirk Cutter era, where back then, what did they do? And Dirk Cutter was happy to admit it. Hey, we forced the ball to Mike Evans because he's damn good. And that's our offense. So I'm assuming Godwin's out. Obviously, Antonio Brown's out. We know the deal with Tyler Johnson is probably going to be in there. Number two, they may not activate Scotty Miller. Maybe Breshad Perriman plays, but Byron Leftwich isn't sure that he'll be ready so quickly after just getting signed and never playing with Brady before. So that leaves us with Jalen Darden and tight ends. So I think Mike Evans is going to go wild. He'll have the opportunity to, maybe 15 targets, and I think they'll be pretty successful. I mean, you know how good the pass blocking is, and the short passing game should be there. So I think it'll be balanced, Ira, which is what you're always looking for, balance, Mr. Balance. But I will be looking, as Lee said, I'll be looking to see if there's a line on over-under rushing attempts, and I'll take the over on the different Bucks that are going. Maybe Rojo will be 6.5. As he often is. But Sage, bottom line, I'm looking, as I said earlier, 33-14 Bucks. No chance here. And even this might be one of those games where we talked in the preseason where a team says, oh, the Bucks are going to get their best shot and all that kind of stuff. I don't think Washington really has a best shot for what the Bucks will deliver.
I think Washington's beat up mentally. They know that, Dallas has been much better than we thought, so Washington's buried in the NFC East, and I think they'll roll over by the middle of the third quarter.
Oh, I like to hear that.
All right, Ira, your little dog there, how's he doing, Cosmo? Is he rolling over?
Well, we picked him up today. He was gone for, we were gone for 8 or 9 days, picked him up from the kennel. He jumped on my wife, almost knocked her over when they brought him out. I just left him in the house. He's all fed. He ran out in the yard. He did his business. And we're going to have a hell of a time controlling him tonight. It's going to be a problem. I'm trying to watch the 76er game. He's going to be all over me. I hope he doesn't pee on the couch, Lee. That's all I can say.